You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
Good morning. Scripture reading is in Proverbs 14, verse 1. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands.
Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning for your call. Many times the heart is motivated by the mind, and the mind, Father, is in its own thoughts and its own imagination. It's not tied in with you, and so we get skewed in our heart about what's going on and whether or not you're in control. But we know you are, and we thank you for your call. We thank you for your appointment today, us being here. And we pray for the mothers. We lift them up. We sing their praises and we glorify them today, Father. But it's only because of you that we do. And particularly those, Father, who have loved your Son and who have believed in him and received him and who follow his precepts and his commandments. We thank you for them. We thank you, Father, for your great love. We pray, Father, that you hedge us about, that if there is a distraction in the mind or the heart, that you rebuke the evil one and that you give us a clearness and clarity that only can properly appreciate the Word and its effect in our life. So as we wait for your Holy Spirit to do his housework, we thank you, Father, for these graces, for we pray them in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. Laid in bed the other night, and I asked my wife, I said, Sherry, I said, what do you want me to talk about on Sunday? She said, mothers. I said, yeah, but you know, it's every Sunday we get this message about a mother that's way up here. You know what I mean? That Proverbs 31 mother. And I said, you know, that is such a hard thing for a mother to attain. Why in the world do we keep putting that up there? And I understand why. You know, shoot for the stars and hope you fall among the clouds. Shoot for the heavens and hope you fall among the stars. If you just shoot for the earth, you just end up right back here on the earth. But I, as a mother, I mean, I'm not one. I've been called one. Was that uncalled for? All right, you mother. There's a guy on Saturday afternoon. That's all he talks. You ever heard him, Pastor Ike? Yeah, it's another thing. If I were a mother, rephrase that, I would get tired of trying to reach this unattainable, this high goal, this lofty idea. I mean, it's just without, it's unreachable. I would be frustrated. I would be stressed. I would be trying to be what probably some of you have tried, to be supermom. I can do it all. Sherry said, well, no. She said, that's probably... She said, why not something that just lifts up mothers? Something that's uplifting. Now, she can tell the real story. I massage it and I kind of make it fit a little bit better. But I may have led her down that path. But I hope there is something in this message that will lift you up. And that's from beneath. You know what I'm saying? Instead of setting a standard up so high that you have to reach up for it. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I want this to be underneath you. You know, the hand of God is underneath you and holding you. And that's what I want, some portion of His character to be a part of this message today, and a part of it you take and apply it to your life and see what He can do and see how He can bless you. I chose this passage because it's a standard Mother's Day passage. Every wise woman builds her home. Every wise woman builds her home. In Proverbs chapter 14, 1. We've already seen that it is pretty much dependent on the wife to lift her husband up or to bring him down. If you've got your Bibles open, just look back a couple of chapters to chapter 12. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, it says, a virtuous woman is a crown to her husband, But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness in his bones. And such is she to her husband's house. She can make it a crown and glorified, as we see in Proverbs 31. Her wisdom can supply many of his defects and shortcomings. Isn't that what a woman is to be to a man? She's to be a compliment to him. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, it talks about three things when God made Eve. And he said that a man and a woman, they're to leave their homes and to cleave to one another, and they're to become one flesh. Three things. And that is the complementary aspect of that relationship between the two. The godly woman is the very soul of the house. She instructs her children by her example, no less than by what she teaches. She builds that house up with the wisdom and the education that God has given her. And that's a critical relationship. Without that relationship, there's not going to be a home that we see in verse 1. A house that's built up by a wise woman. Are you a wise woman? Are you a foolish woman? Because it's the foolish woman that is a rottenness to her husband's bones. It's a foolish woman that plucks down her own house. Is your life built on rock or is your life built on sand? You know the story. And when the winds come and the rains come, the wise woman's house is built on the rock. Her example is not just in the wisdom and the teaching that she has, but her example is in other areas of life. It's in the economy of her home. It's in its strict integrity and how it fears God and eschews evil. It is the character of a godly servant that brings her into fashioning her home. Look over at Proverbs chapter 24. In verse 3, through wisdom is a house built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Mark the foolish woman. These ideas are not foreign to her. Yet they are as much a part of her life as a wise woman. But what to her is precious and pleasant? Idleness, waste. She's a lover of pleasure. She has a want or a lack of forethought and care. She allows her children's wills to overrun. She neglects their souls and their happiness is ruined. And we see her house is plucked down in utter confusion. And it's a sad issue if an enemy has done this. But it is a foolish woman who does it to herself. What responsibility then belongs to this marriage choice, linking it with the highest interest of unborn generations to come? If ever there was a matter for prayer and consideration, this is it. To err here is the undoing of the home. What is it that the woman needs? I don't know. I'm not a woman. But I know from a human point of view what I need, and I think that is what every individual needs. There is a thing in us that needs Christ. There is an emptiness in our heart. There's a hollowness that needs to be filled, not with cars and houses and things, not with prestige and fame and honor, certainly not with beauty and glamour. Turn over to Proverbs 31, verse 30. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. There's that emptiness inside that we all feel, and we all experience it, even those of us who know Him and have received Him as our Savior. And there are times of barrenness. There are times of dryness. There are times of spiritual incoherency. There's times when I don't know. And God's covered that. That's why He's given us a Spirit to teach and to lead us into the things of Christ. To make those things real to us. I don't know of another person than a mother who has more of that. More of those situations where her spiritual well is just bone dry. You fellas understand this. We have a 8-hour-a-day job, 5 days a week. And then we try to find some time for tennis, some time for golf, maybe some time to putter around the house and honeydew. I saw a cartoon a week or so ago, Dagwood. He's making a list, and Blondie's so excited. Well, what are you doing, Dagwood? I'm making a list of things that I need to do around the house. And she starts showing him this and showing him that and showing him this and showing him. And he says, yeah, I'm going to start at the top. She says, that's great, honey. And she goes off the kitchen, and he goes to the couch. And he lays down, and she comes in, and he's laying on the couch. And what are you doing? He says, I'm doing the first thing on my list. But it's 24 hours, 7 days a week. 12 months a year, 365 days, isn't it, to be a mother? It's just constant. It's continuous. I remember that time I tried to help out. Sherry, you can too. I was so gracious. I said, honey, I know you've been worn out. Let me take care of Erin. And I went in and got her out of her crib. She was crying. And I took her into the living room. And I sat down on the sofa. Kim, you remember this. And Erin, do you remember? And I'm sitting in there with her on the couch. I turn the TV on. And I'm kind of rocking her. And I think, there's some popsicles in the freezer. So I put her down, and I go get a popsicle, and I unfold it, and I go back, and I sit down. She's still there. Johnny Carson's on TV, and I'm eating this popsicle, and she's still crying. But that's okay, because I'm taking care of her. As I eat my popsicle and watch TV. And after 10 minutes of this, Sherry comes in and says, let me take her. So I went back to bed. We don't know what you mothers deal with. And not everyone's called to be a mother. And don't forget that we understand that. Not everyone's called to be a mother, but everyone is called. Everyone is called. And there is that need in the heart that still needs to be satisfied. And you're not going to find it in children, and you're not going to find it in your husband, and you won't find it in the things that you can accumulate or a job or any friends. Or any other activity that you find. The only satisfaction that means anything in life is what you find in Christ. Isn't that what love's all about? It's sacrifice, isn't it? God so loved the world He gave His only begotten Son. And who knows that better than mothers? It's a day in and day out, 24-hour job of sacrifice, 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 sacrifice. That's what love's all about, isn't it? That's how you love your children. You fix their boo-boos and you clean up their poo-poos. And they don't do it when you want them to. They do it at the most unbelievable moments. Standing in line at the grocery store with a basket full of groceries. What is that smell? No! and you don't have any diapers. Excuse me, I got to go back down the diaper row. All of those situations, and I don't know them, you know them better than I do, and you know how frustrating it is and how demanding it is, but every one of us is worth it. Every one of us is worth it. I know what you mothers would like me to talk about. Let's talk about mother-in-laws. Oh boy, now there's a subject, mother-in-laws. You know, there's a story about a guy who was a farmer and he married this lady and brought her home, and after about 2 months of blissful marriage, her mother showed up just to help out. And she did. She hung things and she fixed up the farmhouse a little bit here and a little bit there. But she didn't just come for a day. She stayed a whole week. And then after that, she, being a farm girl, thought she could help him with the farm. So the next week, she started with that. And on the first day, he said, well, yeah, come on, Mom. And his mother-in-law, he takes her out to the barn and they're walking by all the animals. And they come by this mule. And for some reason, even unknown today, the mule rears up and kicks Mom right in the head, knocks her down, and kills her. Oh, sad. It was terrible. It was a beautiful funeral. A lot of people really loved her deeply. And the pastor noticed that as everybody would walk by the husband, not her husband, but her daughter's husband, the son-in-law, whenever the women would walk by, he would nod his head up and down and say, yes. The next one would come by and say something to him, and he'd nod his head up and down and say, yes. But when a man would come by, he'd shake his head back and forth and say, no. And so the pastor kept wondering, why is that? Because every time that happened, whether it was a woman or a man, the same response. And so when everybody had kind of left and departed, the pastor went over to the fella and he said, you know, I couldn't help but notice that whenever the women would come by, you'd nod your head up and down and say yes. What were they saying to you? And he said, well, they said, it was a terrible tragedy what happened to your mother-in-law. And I would say yes. And the pastor said, well, what did the men say? Well, the men said, can I borrow your mule? And I'd tell them, no, that mule's booked up for 4 weeks. Mother-in-laws. Okay, I've got another one. There was a guy getting ready. He went to the doctor, and the doctor told him, I got some bad news for you. He said, well, he says, you only got 4 weeks to live. And he said, 4 weeks? I said, yeah, that's all. So what are you going to do? And he said, of course, some of you think, well, I'll just go out to Hawaii, or I'll take a trip to the Orient or Europe, or I'll schedule a golf game every day of the week for the next 4 weeks at a different course. But this guy thought and thought and thought and finally said, Doc, I think I'm going to go stay with my mother-in-law. He said, stay with your mother-in-law? Why? He said, it'll be the longest 4 weeks of my life. Mother-in-laws. But you know, to talk about mother-in-laws, all of you mothers are a mother-in-law. Will be, has been, or is. So talking about them, I'm talking about you. And we have plenty of examples in Scripture to talk about when we talk about mother-in-laws. Naomi. Remember the love that Ruth had? Why is that? Why is that? Well, I think we can see. Go back over to Ruth. Joshua judges Ruth. Turn to Ruth. In chapter 1, we see something about Naomi. Of course, Naomi's husband died. Her two sons who had married two Moabites died. Her two sons died, leaving her with two daughter-in-laws. And she told her daughter-in-laws to go back home. Verse 11. Turn again, my daughter-in-laws. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. What was it that that touched the heart of Ruth to have her stay with her mother-in-law. Verse 16, Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to turn away from following after thee, for where thou goest I will go, and where thou lodgest I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, thy God my God." You know, there was a characteristic of Naomi that made her attractive to her daughter-in-law. So much that she wanted to stay with her forever. What is that? What was that characteristic? Do people really know that the things that we teach and the things that we live are the things that are given to us by God? Do they know that? Do they know that you're just a good person and that's great, but they understand where that goodness comes from? Does your life present an example of that goodness? Is that hole and that vacuum in your heart filled with Christ so that they recognize Him in every breath and in every thought and in every deed that you do? You can't fill it with anything else, and that's where faith comes in. A mother's got to have faith. Not faith in herself, but faith in God. And you know, you've got to have faith enough that you take the things of God and apply them to your life. You've got to have faith in the Word. You've got to have faith in His Son so that He can live His life through you, giving you that strength that you need to meet each day. You have to have faith in God so that you can learn to trust Him when there is no place else to turn. There's nothing else to trust. There's nothing left in your life to lean on. All of the things that you had hoped for and had placed your confidence and trust in have been swept away. You know, and that's what the Scripture tells us in the Word that we have to apply to our life and have faith in that Word. Thine Word, it says in Proverbs 119:11, Thine Word have I hid in my heart. Why? That I might not sin against thee. Trust and faith in Jesus that He will strengthen you, that He will see you through the dark night and the long length of that night. To be able to recognize how important it is to give your all to Him. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, so that you can do what God has called you to do, which is your reasonable worship. To have faith in God. I'm about to lose these little kids. To have faith in God. Have you got faith in God? You little ones, have you had, is there a growing seed in you from the Word of God and the trust that you have and faith in Christ that you can learn to have faith in God? To have faith in God and turn your life over to Him? So that when challenges come, you don't lean into your own imagination, that your heart is wholly given to Him. You know why it's important to give your heart wholly to Him? And by wholly, I mean completely and entirely. Not to be enticed by this world or your own imaginations that come from this world's allure. Not to be persuaded by the music you hear or the television you listen to. That comes from feelings. You mothers know what feelings are. You deal with your feelings every day. What do feelings have to do with faith? That's a bunch of sentimentality. Feelings are the things that have the whole world today wrapped up in. I feel, you feel, he feels, she feels, they feel. Feelings dominate everything that we do, doesn't it? We base our whole day around how we feel and what we feel. We have allowed our feelings to rule supreme in our lives. We have placed our feelings on the scales of our heart to tip us whichever way we feel. We've let our feelings replace our convictions. We've made our feelings to be the measure of all things in our life. There are whole churches today who function and operate based on feelings rather than on the authority of God. You see them, they're advertised, exciting church. It's energizing, it's exciting, it's entertaining. Oh, you ought to see how we have a worship. And it's permeated even our worship service, this idea of feeling, so much so that we think that worship today is at 20 minutes before we hear the Word of God preached to us. You know, that's that time when we sing. That's worship. I'm going to tell you something, and you younger adults, you think back in 20, 30 years to what I'm telling you right now, but it's feelings that have killed the mainline church. And it's feelings that are going to kill the evangelical church, because the evangelical church is heading that way. Our relationships and our friendships are built upon feelings today and not devotion. Our marriages are built on feelings and not commitment. Our work is driven by feelings and not honor and duty and a sense of accomplishment and doing something right. Even our faith is now measured by our feelings. I feel spiritual, they say. So therefore I am spiritual. Never mind about conduct. Never mind about the purity of heart. Never mind about the moral demands of Scripture. You know, feelings have so little to do with our faith. They have something to do with it. You know, those moments when you're on that spiritual mountaintop and you have this spiritual ecstasy and this great spiritual feeling about what God is doing. But is that when you really need faith? When things are good? It's some kind of ecstatic joy that permeates every facet of our body, and we think, this is worship. This is what it's all about. Let me tell you, I grow and you grow more in your Christian walk in the times of spiritual barrenness than in times of spiritual ecstasy. I mature more in Christ when I am in a spiritual dryness than in times when I'm in a spiritual top-of-the-world situation. I learn to trust and to have faith in God more when I'm in the wilderness of God than when I am on the riverbank singing songs of praise. You know, I can't imagine what Eve felt like after Cain killed Abel. But boy, it must have been a spiritual wilderness to her. And then God gave her Seth. I can't imagine what spiritual dryness overcame Sarah when her womb was empty and there was still a promise of the seed. And yet she was 90 years old. I can't imagine in the life of Naomi how much barrenness there was when she lost not just her husband, but her two sons. It was in those moments that her faith was tested. It was in those moments that she had no one else to lean on. It was in those moments when she was at the end of her rope. And if she didn't have that void in her life filled with the hope of God, I wonder if she would have made it. I wonder. What do you do when you can't make it? What do you do? You're running that race in life, Mom. You know, you can tell the size of the heart of a runner when the end is near. You know what I'm saying? You know, it may be the end of the day and you just got to get through it, or it may be the end of the night and you've got not one, but two kids sick, throwing up, diarrhea, having. You've got to get up the next morning. How do you balance it all? You can tell the heart of a runner, though, when the runner's coming to the end of the race. It's when you have that choice before you to win or to lose. It's that time in life when you are told to suck it up. You hear it in your mind. You feel it in your heart. But your arms and your legs are about to give out. And you want to quit. You've been there. I've been there. Your lungs hurt. They're on fire. Your feet ache. They feel like lead. Your side is pounding so much you think it's going to break every rib in your body. But you can't quit. You can't quit. Especially if you're a mom. God's dependent on you. God's counting on you. No pain, no gain. What is it that enables you? It's that void filler. It's that life giver. It's the one who died so that you might live. He's the one that meets the need. He's the one that sees you through the night. He's the one who strengthens and enables. And He's the one who's promised to meet every need that you have. Now, what better way could He show it than the way He showed it? The same way you show it. How you love your children, sacrifice. But His sacrifice wasn't incomplete. Yours might be. You might not be able to make it that day with the brownies to the homes, to your home class. What's the word? Homeroom meeting that your child needs. You may not be able to get to the ballet lessons on time. You may not be able to make the swimming lessons. You may not be able to even get out of bed some days. But God gave us a complete and a supreme sacrifice in His Son. He gave us a demonstration of the love that supersedes every other love. He is the one who has promised to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you could ask or imagine. Learn to have faith in His Word. Apply it to your life. Learn to have faith in His Son. Let Him live in you and strengthen you, and learn to have faith in Him. And let Him complete that which He has begun. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You have blessed us with the Word, and that it is a light that shines on our path, and it shows us the way to go, Father. Doesn't mean we always follow, and You know that better than we do. But Lord, there's no better time than today if we're off that path to get back on it, to get back into this Word, because that's where Your strength comes from, and that's where we learn to have faith. Faith comes from hearing Your Word, Father. May we learn how important that is. Just to spend time to read the Word and then to see Christ dwell in us, and to turn things over to Him, to trust Him. And then, Father, to see how complete and accomplished You can be in our life when we learn to trust You and have faith in You. I present that this morning, Father, to the mothers who are experiencing some barrenness or some dryness in their life. May it quench their thirst, and may it satisfy their need, and may You always be their hope. And this I pray in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.